welcome to Shot Clock, the quickfire UK-based NBA-dedicated podcast from me, Andy Brassel, and him, Max Whittle. Say hello, Max.
Hello, Andy.
As always, many thanks to all who've downloaded. We are, of course, available on iTunes as well as on SoundCloud. You can subscribe. You can leave us a lovely review if you wish. To those who've been on touch on Twitter, thank you very much as well. You can do the same at Shot Clock Pod. You can email us at shotclockpod@gmail.com.
We're over 100 followers on Twitter now as well.
Yeah, I've almost forgotten the email address, as we said.
I wouldn't even bother reading it anymore.
Time capsule, demands for payment, and offers of various Ponzi schemes. Anyway, this is episode number 19. Before we give you a recap of the format, tell me, Max Whittle, what have you been watching in the NBA recently?
Very good question. Actually, last night I watched two documentaries. One was about the Warriors last season winning the finals.
You watched documentaries instead of the game?
Yeah.
Okay, Dad.
You learn more and you don't have to stay awake till too late. The first one was just a recap of the Warriors last season. Every year they do a kind of title overview.
Yeah, they're showing that on French telly a lot at the moment. Yeah,
it's very game focused, which is okay. But then the second one I watched was way better, and I would recommend it to you and everyone else listening. Mm-hmm. It's called Magic Johnson and Larry Bird. It's on HBO. It was an HBO documentary, and it's all about how they've been connected since going to college in their respective states where they grew up. And it's just really fascinating to hear from Bird and Magic, and we haven't really seen a rivalry since then like that. What about you?
There you go. It was possible to have synergy even before LinkedIn and MySpace existed. Who would have believed it?
True.
And Bebo, who's showing your age there. I watched the end of Spurs at Heat last night, and then went on to watch Rockets Warriors. And it's a thing now that you know, the Warriors are getting made to actually win games.
Yeah, because teams are changing their defensive schemes, and it's good for the Warriors actually going into the playoffs. Every team seems to be playing them as if it's a game seven.
Is it like they're starting the playoffs already?
Yeah, and I like that. I like that commitment. I did see the Magic Hawks, which strangely they played back to back. So Orlando hosted the Hawks, then they flew to Atlanta and played in Atlanta the next night.
That's right, and two wins for the Magic, for all you who are watching them at NBA London. And by golly, did they need those wins. Of course, the first given to them by the buzzer beater three by Nikola Vucevic.
Oh, and I did, my favourite highlight from this week has got to be the Andre Drummond full court heave. Doesn't look like he puts any effort into that, and he just launches it from pretty much the other end of the court, and it goes straight down.
Yeah, that's
so
right.
He can't hit free throws, but he can hit that. Can you explain that to me, please?
I know, it's a 70, if you haven't seen it, it's a 70 foot field goal buzzer beater against the Raptors. It's the longest field goal in the NBA since 2007. You know who got that?
Oh wow, LeBron.
LeBron.
Yeah, they do that in practice, right? So they can always do it in practice when it comes to a game. But I was talking to a friend about that last night, and that was what he said. It just, you couldn't believe how little effort it seemed they put in to throw it that far. We'd have to put our whole body. I actually said this. You know when they bring a fan in from the crowd to try and win a car or whatever, $50,000 from half court, they look like they're putting their whole life into that shot, and Andre Drummond's just flicking it like it's a dart. I don't know, it's crazy.
Yeah, he's not the sort of man who really needs to win a car. The very future of the NBA. Anyway, as you know, our format is four quarters of discussion followed by shot clock overtime, where we only have 24 seconds each to bring order to a current issue of choice. And it will be a very particular shot clock OT today. So with no further ado, let's get on with quarter one. Coach Trouble out there on the hard shoulder of the M1.
And he's crying.
And at the very first, of course, the big news from the last couple of days, Derek Fisher at the New York Knicks is no more. Barely a year and a half into a five-year contract on the back of 9 defeats in 10 games. He got proper right terminated by Phil Jackson, didn't he? What did you think of this?
Well, the question you ask is, was it deserved, seeing as the Knicks are an improved team with decent additions from the summer? The 9 out of 10 losses and 5 in a row was what did him in the short term. But in the bigger picture, and we've looked at likes of David Blatt, and we're going to look at it now with Fisher, is that Jackson was concerned that Fisher was going away from his triangle offense, which I've said before on this show. Look, every team, you have to understand, the league plays a part, aspects of the triangler in their offense. And for people that don't know, the triangle is an offense based on not a lot of point guard play. So the big man will have the ball, and the guards, the smaller players, will cut off that. So there's a lot of cuts, a lot of handoffs, and it's not a ball-dominated focus league. That's why Rondo the other day slagged it off
Yeah, Deep Fish wasn't happy with that. Wasn't happy with that.
And that's another crack there, is that Fisher generally doesn't say a lot to the media, but he recently has been saying these things, been getting wound up. So Jackson was frustrated that Fisher was going away from that, and the losses they've had factor with the point that a month ago people were saying that the Knicks are a playoff team this season. But I don't think it was deserved, as it was it's Jackson who, if he's gonna not coach anymore, and that's what his job says, his description says he's not a coach anymore, he needs to actually stop coaching.
That's the thing, is he kind of like coaching from hospitality? I mean, you know, you look at Kurt Rambis, who's one of the associate coaches who's coming to replace Fisher till the end of the season, it looks like. Now, let's go into this with an open mind. Nevertheless, his record as a head coach with the Minnesota Timberwolves.
Disaster.
Yeah, that's right. A 19% win ratio.
So let's look at it.
Pretty unambiguous, isn't it?
Pretty bad. Look at the Knicks bench. So Fisher, people forget that he didn't finish as a Laker. Before he finished the Lakers, he was with Oklahoma City Thunder.
Yes.
So he's brought over a guy called Brian Keith to be an assistant on the Knicks team, whereas Jackson has Rambis, you just mentioned, and Jim Clemens, who are Jackson in the Jackson circle, which wasn't ever good for Fisher. So if I'm not be surprised if Rambis comes in now and has a decent run, that he gets an extension. But it seems to me that every coach that runs the triangle, if that is who Jackson acquires, they're going to have the same fate as Fisher, because the next GM, assuming Phil is president, the next president, assuming Jackson goes back to LA where everyone expects him to, or retires, whoever's running the triangle is going to be out of there, because the next guy to come in will not be a triangle guy at all.
That's a wonderful conspiracy theory I heard actually on ESPN, that a couple of the guys were saying, well, how about it goes like this: Phil Jackson points Tom Thibodeau, who's not a triangle guy, of course, great work with the Bulls, and was assistant coach at the Knicks under Jeff Van Gundy for seven, eight years, something like that.
Yeah.
Anyway, so he puts him in situ, and then when he's got the moving in direction, he steps away back to LA.
The problem is that Tibbs is in the Jeff Van Gundy circle, and Jackson doesn't get on with Van Gundy at all.
That is quite an obstacle.
And an understatement. Look, you've got to remember as well, Andy, Steve Kerr turned this job down last summer. He's a West Coast guy, and he's got Luke Walton under his tutelage now.
That's right. And
Kerr will talk to Walton.
Luke Walton is, of course, one of the candidates going forward. He'd be crazy to take this, wouldn't he?
So it's like that.
Wouldn't he be crazy to take this?
No, not crazy, but in the situation Walton's in, you might be crazy. It's just like this trade rumour that Kevin Durant could go to Golden State next year. Why would you want to blow up that Warriors team? It's the same question. Why would Luke Walton want to leave Golden State and go over to New York? Great city, but not basketball right now, okay? I think Jackson has to understand that Fisher, and he denied this, by the way, we go back to training camp at the start of the year. People don't realize that when Fisher flew to California to see one of his girlfriends, the whole Matt Barnes situation, they forget, and some people don't read this, he returned late to run a practice in New York.
I mean, that really got him off on the wrong foot, especially after a 17-win season, right?
And how do you lose a locker room? By acting like a player, and he's a coach, and that's what he did. But also, it's kind of like this culture in New York where Phil Jackson...
You mean a player as in a member of the playing staff rather than a player?
He's not a player, well, even though he is.
Bit of both.
I like it. And that caught him in trouble, didn't it? And Jackson, whose fiancée Jeannie Buss is back in LA, Fisher probably sees Jackson going to California whenever he wants, and maybe he just thought, I can pop on a flight to Cali. That's not something you do if you're like a Thibodeau who takes his job very seriously. That was a bad step. But Jackson's denied that that's what it was about. I think there were problems with Jackson trying to get rid of the owner, James Dolan's guys, and James Dolan not necessarily liking Jackson's guys, and it's all kind of friction there.
So going forward from this, just briefly, where does Coach Tibbs go next? I'm surprised that the Nets haven't had a proper play for him.
Yeah, I think the Rockets is a job that's still open, because they've got that sort of...
Yeah, they're treading water under Bickerstaff, aren't they?
You're not a permanent job right now.
Yeah.
And the Thunder last summer was a huge job. But I think the Lakers, the Rockets and the Knicks are the three jobs that people are looking at next summer.
Yes.
Tibbs, if he comes in, and this is what I would say on that question, Tom Thibodeau wants either a GM that's not well known so he can cede power to Tim Thibodeau, or Thibodeau wants to come in and be the GM as well as the coach like he was in Chicago. That doesn't work everywhere, and it won't work in New York. So I do not foresee that. Rambis, Brian Shaw and Luke Walton are the sort of candidates right now with Jackson there. And if Shaw's a disaster in Denver and Rambis was a disaster in Minnesota, so...
That's right. Get out your party bunting, Knicks fans. Well, I suspect there's been some party bunting in the Cleveland Cavaliers dressing room. Since we spoke to you last, of course, David Blatt has been relieved of his duties. And Israel no longer has to support the Cavs. This was what Gil Ayal, a 38-year-old Israeli high-tech executive who typically supports the Boston Celtics, told ESPN after that. Finally, I can go back to hating LeBron without feeling guilty. Hope he never sees a title in his life. Of course, Tyronn Lue, who's very much LeBron's man, has come in. What have you seen from Lue's early moves?
So he came in with this get it and go philosophy of picking up the ball. If the opponent's team scored, Kyrie Irving or LeBron would come straight to the baseline and want the ball outlet quickly so they could get up the floor. He wants to get Kevin Love involved. He wants to get him more elbow touches, like on the free throw line. Kevin Love, I think, has averaged six more since Lue came in. It's an understatement to say that it was a huge disappointment that David Blatt could never get Kevin Love involved in that offense, and that's what's happened. And James clearly respects Tyronn Lue. That's what you see in Blatt's last game. LeBron was sitting in his chair talking to Tyronn Lue, so that's a subject. But since that move and the early sort of run that Lue had, the Cavs haven't done that well, and now people are suggesting, well, maybe they did jump a bit ahead of the time. Like, why was Blatt fired with that record? But it's only because the players didn't like him.
Yeah, that's right, because of course they were so far ahead of where they were at the same point last season, so you can't say Blatt hadn't improved things, obviously, with the help of some of those trades last year.
Who did Israel take on, by the way? Who do you think their team is now? Who would they... Because that's something I forgot to say to you. Blatt's another option for New York. Imagine if he went to the Knicks. But maybe that could be Israeli's team next.
Yeah, another coach out of work who might consider himself a little unlucky to be out of work. Jeff Hornacek, fired by the Phoenix Suns and replaced by Earl Watson. Perhaps Hornacek, of course, the Suns redeveloping, restructuring. And maybe he's paid the price for doing a bit too well at the start of his tenure. A man who's not done brilliantly so far in his current job, but looks like he will be staying when it seems certain that he will be fired. George Karl.
Yeah.
The Sacramento Kings. What are Vlade and Vivek doing?
All the talk was that George Karl would be fired over the All-Star break. Nice time to do it. Famously called out DeMarcus Cousins during training camp, saying that Cousins could be traded. He's later said, Carl, that he regrets saying that. Cousins...
Yeah, because, of course, the owner, Vivek Ranadive, was never having that. He was never
having
gonna
trade.
Going anywhere, was it?
And the issue was with Ranadive is that he wanted a coach to stay because he's fired so many. There's been too much upheaval in Sacramento. And the interesting thing is the GM, Vlade Divac, calls George Karl yesterday. And George Karl took his phone to a private area. He was out in public because he expected to be fired in that phone call. Mm. What Divac did say to him was, we're behind you, we're going to work on our problems, and we need to play better defense. That was one thing that came out of that. Sources of sources.
Better defense, or yeah, DeMarcus needs to play better defense.
DeMarcus Cousins.
I mean, he didn't really pull his weight to the max in that big defeat to the Cleveland Cavaliers that looked like it might be the death knell for Karl.
Looked like it would be. Probably ever since this whole Ranadive Cousins loving has happened, it seems the way that Karl would never be able to get on top of Cousins and control it. But the reason defense is because they're last in the NBA in points allowed, 109.1. They're last in opponent three-pointers made, 10.7. And today is their last game before the All-Star break against the Sixers. So imagine they'd have lost that game and Divac hadn't made that call. Everyone would assume Karl's out. The issue is that Cousins is such a good player. And I don't think Karl was on Zach Lowe's podcast this week. It was really insightful.
Okay.
The question was straightforward. How are you and Cousins doing? And George Karl said that he doesn't think Cousins will ever like any coach. So it was honest. And I like Karl. I do like Karl. And he said, Boogie's cool. And that's the only way you can describe it. They're never going to see eye to eye, but they have to try and win together.
The little postscript to this, of course, is the fact that the day after the Cavs' defeat, they had a shoot around to which three members of the roster turned up, including Rajon Rondo, who said, well, it was optional, but then said, well, it's kind of the coach's fault for making it optional. But in what situation, after a defeat like that, don't most of the, the roster turn up.
If you're serious, you do turn up. Like, yeah. You get up your 250, 300 shots, you work on things, and that's a respect. And that's a direct result of the fact that Rondo and Rudy Gay are in Cousins' corner. They're not hanging out with George Karl after a game on the plane, whatever it is. George Karl is a lonely island right now. He's on his own in that respect. And I think he will be gone at the end of the year, and he needs to look for a better situation. But famously, Karl hasn't got on with superstars. Didn't in Seattle. Didn't in Denver. So this is going to continue.
Quarter two. You know what's happening for the Valentines in your life. It's All-Star Weekend. It's going to be in Toronto, Canada. That's going to be exciting, isn't it?
Nothing says I love you than I'm going to watch the All-Star game tonight, honey.
Didn't make Jermaine Defoe stay, though, did it?
True.
Let's have a quick recap of the teams. These are the starters in the East. Dwayne Wade, Kyle Lowry on home turf, LeBron James, of course. Paul George. Oh, yes. Great to see him back in Nick.
You like Paul George, Andy?
Yeah, of course. I mean, in a Steph Curry-less world, he's up there towards MVP sort of territory. He's been brilliant after coming back from that compound fracture of the leg. Talking of gammy legs, Carmelo Anthony is the fifth, and hence why he's probably been resting his knee. The reserves, John Wall, Pau Gasol, who's replaced Jimmy Butler. Of course, he twisted that knee against the Nuggets, and he's going to be out for 3 or 4 weeks. He's a big miss, really, isn't he, Jimmy Butler?
For the Bulls, yeah, not for the All-Star game. Mixed week for the Gasols as well, with Mark going down with an injury and Pau going
in. That's right. He's broken his foot, and he's out for what is, as we speak, indeterminate amount of time. Paul Millsap is among the reserves.
Underrated.
Absolutely. We keep saying that, don't we? Andre Drummond, the aforementioned Andre Drummond. Chris Bosh. Another Raptors man, DeMar DeRozan, and Isaiah Thomas of the Boston Celtics. Quick thoughts?
I like Thomas and Drummond, first-time All-Stars, and I'm happy that Lowry and DeRozan get to play in their hometown. The Chris Bosh is going to do the challenge thing again. We'll talk about that. It should be named after him. He always wins it.
We are going to come to that in a minute.
D-Wade, voted in by the fans. Got to love that.
Speaking of voted in for the fans... spot the odd one out in the West lineup. the first five. Steph Curry.
Spot the odd one out. Got it already.
Russell Westbrook. Kobe Bryant. Kevin Durant. Kawhi Leonard. Really deserved by Kawhi Leonard. What a player. Yeah, what a player.
Best defender and scorer now on the Spurs team, who are second in the West. Big challengers, and he's the main reason why, I think.
Absolutely right. The reserves are Chris Paul, James Harden, Draymond Green, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Klay Thompson, and LaMarcus Aldridge, who, funnily enough, since a few people turned their noses up at his All-Star selection, I mean, this was something we previously discussed, and he's gone for success, team success rather than personal glory in joining the Spurs. His numbers have really popped up, haven't they, in the last couple of weeks?
And I think he deserves more credit for as an All-Star for doing what he's done this year and in leaving a... He's gone to not a huge market in the sense that they are like the New York and LA, but they're going to compete and try and win. And he wants to make sure that his legacy is intact when he retires, and that means winning a ring, and he's gone to the right place.
Yeah, I mean, that whole market share thing, I'm sure Adam Silver, who we're going to talk about in quarter four, I mean, he's been saying this week that he thinks that matters less and less, that players want to get paid and win. But anyway, further San Antonio Spurs involvement, Greg Popovich, of course, will be coaching the West. Tyronn Lue will be coaching the East.
Yeah, this simply is my
because his
bugbear
team atop. Well, yeah, okay.
So you're bringing.
You can have a little moan about that later. Anyway,
cut me off there.
You know, we're pressed for time. So the other things to note: there is the dunk contest, the 3-point contest, the skills contest, and the rising stars contest. We'll go through who's involved. We're not going to even touch the celebrity game.
Oh, my man Muggsy Bogues is in that one.
That shouldn't be allowed. He's a bloody basketball player.
The only thing you should say about that
is... Give it up for Wim Butler out of Arcade Fire.
Drake and Kevin Hart get to coach the Canadian team. That's what I'm excited about.
That's right. Steve Nash, assistant coach to Drake.
Michael B. Jordan is playing in that one. Not the Michael Jordan, but
Michael B. Jordan, we've already discussed the difference at some length around NBA London. Of course,
he was there. Yeah.
Was he sat next to Didier Drogba?
No, I don't think he was. Drogba was sat next to Gordon Ramsay. What a combo that is.
So, the skills challenge participants are...
Ooh.
Patrick Beverley of the Houston Rockets, Jordan Clarkson of the Lakers, CJ McCollum, what a good season he's had, of the Blazers, Isaiah Thomas, DeMarcus Cousins, Anthony Davis, Draymond Green, and Carl Anthony Towns. Ladies and gentlemen, rookie of the year for you?
Yes, just ahead of Zinger.
3-point contest.
Which is, by the way, the most exciting. Can we just chat about that? Because this now has gone way ahead of the dunk contest in terms of what people look out for.
What, the skills?
No, the 3-point contest. But yet the dunk contest is left to the last, as the last thing before the game. Mm. 3-point contest, for me, should go last, because now you've got, or you're going to read the lineup out, and they are exciting players, and I think it's just better than the dunk contest now.
Okay, well, the dunk contest, I'll do that first then.
Go ahead.
Kowtow to you a little bit. The four we've got, Zach LaVine of Minnesota Timberwolves, of course, the reigning champion. He would be the first back-to-back winner since Nate Robinson, were he to win it again. Will Barton of the Nuggets, rising and rising. Aaron Gordon of the Magic and Andre Drummond of the Detroit Pistons. Should DeAndre Jordan have been involved?
Well, it's not really that. The players don't like doing it because of injury, so would be excited to see him. I want to see Aaron Gordon. I was there in Orlando last year, and he can fly in warm-ups. The guy is so built up. He's huge, and he can seriously jump well. Like, his offensive rebound numbers have gone up as well this season. Mm. So that shows just how he can get up. LaVine is an exciting player. We mentioned him on the last show with Towns and Wiggins.
Yeah.
LaVine's that third guy now. So it'd be good to have him involved.
So your 3-point contestants are Devin Booker of the Phoenix Suns, Chris Bosh, Steph Curry, has to be the favourite, surely, James Harden, Kyle Lowry, Chris Middleton, of the Bucks, JJ Redick of the Clippers. He's been brilliant in recent weeks, hasn't he? And Klay Thompson. J.R. Smith's not happy that he didn't get picked, is he?
And JJ Redick is happy, and you know what he's been doing? He got his agent to bring in some racks and the money ball, which is what they shoot. So there's 5 shots per rack. And the final ball is called Moneyball. It's worth 2 points, and it's a different sort of different shape, different feel. I'm not saying it's a rugby ball, but and he's basically, Redick said last year when he was in it, he didn't really take it seriously. He was having all the parties in New York, and then he basically touched a ball half an hour before the contest. This year, he's practicing hard for it. And Curry, you say favorite, he was in it 3 times in a row, and he only won it last year. So it's tough to do. And If anyone remembers, JJ Redick shot about 5 on the line last year. They didn't count because they were 2-pointers. That's why he's taking it a bit more seriously.
Well, you know, that's what people have been saying, haven't they, about Blake Griffin, who we're going to come to in quarter three, that he hasn't got a 3-pointer. But if you moved him like a foot back,
psychologically,
he would have. The amount of mid-range shots he scores is absolutely unbelievable.
They would slay in Europe in terms of 3-pointers, because the 3-point line is so much closer than it is in the NBA. They should come over here.
Come on, yeah, Blake, come over. You know you want to.
And if James Harden wins the 3-point contest, and I don't want him in the All-Star game as well, that's a bad weekend for me. Good job I'll be being romantic instead of watching it, hey Andy?
good lad. The Rising Stars Challenge, we have Team World and Team USA. The Team World will be Bojan Bogdanovic of the Nets, Clint Capella of the Rockets, real rising star he is, Mario Hezonja of the Magic, who's been in great nick in recent weeks, Nikola Jokic of the Nuggets, Nikola Mirotic of the Bulls is injured, so has been replaced by Trey Lyles of the Utah Jazz, Emmanuel Mudiay of the Nuggets, Raul Neto of the Jazz, Kristaps Porzingis.
Yo!
Yeah. Dwight Powell of the Mavs and Andrew Wiggins of the Timberwolves. Excellent Canadian representation there. Team USA is going to be Jordan Clarkson of the Lakers, Rodney Hood of the Jazz, Zach LaVine, Nerlens Noel and Jahlil Okafor, both of the Sixers, of course, Jabari Parker of the Bucks, Elfrid Payton of the Magic, D'Angelo Russell of the Lakers, Marcus Smart of the Celtics, and Carl Anthony Towns.
Not convinced about Russell being in there for the Lakers. It kind of shows you that there aren't actually, although it was a good draft, the talent pool isn't overwhelming in that in that respect. If you look at the difference between Wiggins and Russell, who were both picked 1 and 2 respectively, it's crazy how big a leap that is.
Well, I think it's really hard to make a judgment on D'Angelo Russell at this stage, given that, well, he's been living under the shadow of the Kobe farewell.
And I'll be happy that he's involved in a game not coached by Byron Scott, who seems to be managing him in quite the opposite way that he should be.
If it all goes to plan, he won't be involved in many games being coached by Byron Scott next season. But anyway, we hope you enjoy it. Our friends at NBA would like to let you know that the NBA All-Star 2016 sees the best players in the world go head-to-head in Toronto. Watch the game from 1:30 a.m. on Sunday night stroke Monday morning, live on BT Sport 1 HD, or live and on demand via NBA League Pass at NBA.tv. The interesting thing is you can get all the All-Star weekend for a flat price of $8.99 as well. So you get the games plus the Rising Stars Challenge, the dunk contest that won't be the same without DeAndre, and all the other stuff.
I tell you what, though, one more thing on this is they have Sting at halftime. Surely you're in Toronto. It's the NBA, which is very simulated to rap and fashion. You get any hip-hop star and it goes off. Sting for the fans that are watching?
I think Drake probably needs like an hour off at some point over the weekend, doesn't he?
He needs to
be in
there.
You're trying to make him do everything.
He needs to be. Why wouldn't he be on the Toronto All-Star Game halftime show? Sting, come on. Like, it's the NBA.
Quarter three, and it's not just the unrest of Max Whittle shuffling his papers, but a few of our beloved stars in the NBA, notably Blake Griffin, of course, who has now had a second operation on the hand he injured, hitting his friend, assistant kit man, Matthias Testi. Of course, that was on their road trip to Toronto. He was recovering from a quadriceps injury at the time. He's out, and the NBA ruled on that incident and given Griffin a 4-game ban without pay. He'll also have a 5th game without pay, as deemed by the Clippers themselves, which will lose him $851,000 from his season total of $18.9 million. Harsh enough?
Yeah, I think more games would be better than money, because obviously players don't want to miss games.
Yeah.
And this isn't his friend. He's smashed him in the face. Griffin...
on more than one occasion.
It's crazy. Like, the Clippers seem to be winning more without him, but yet you look back to last year when they didn't have Chris Paul and Griffin was the leader of the team. Mm. But now, although they had a not a very tough schedule without Griffin...
It's been pretty forgiving, hasn't it?
They've lost Rivers, they've lost other players, and they seem to be finding a way to win. But Rivers will be saying with Steve Ballmer, who are both in win-now mode, that we'll get more for Griffin, but we'll go probably not as far without him. It's a weird conundrum.
So would you trade him now if you were the GM?
I wouldn't. There are options with one player to one player, so Kevin Love for Griffin swap, or Melo, or Al Horford. But the problem is they have to see how far they can go with this current team. And right now, I think the only option they've got is to keep him until the summer. And then look, they're already floating him on the market now. They're already listening to other GMs and other teams about potential Griffin trades, that's for sure. Whether they do it or not is another question.
What's the one that would look good for you?
I think Carmelo and Griffin straight up swap with the Knicks, because Chris Paul and Melo, first of all, have the same agent. So Paul could entice Anthony to come over. And it makes sense for both teams, because the Knicks are going to build around Kristaps, not Carmelo. So bringing Griffin, who's 5 years younger than Anthony.
A bit closer to him age-wise.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And they'll fit together perfectly, because Kristaps is a three-point shooter and he protects the rim. Blake Griffin can run the floor. And the Clippers, like I just said, are in win-now mode. So they get an all-star who's in the tail end of his prime, and they can go that way. So that would make sense, but these trades never usually happen.
That's right. They really do with the superstars, which is why another one that's been mentioned, the possibility of trading Chris Paul, even with the Cavs, for Kyrie Irving, isn't likely to happen. But would that interest you?
It would, but I need to know, if I'm in the Clippers organization, if Kyrie can play 82 games, because he's had his injury problems.
Yeah.
And LeBron would love, I assume, to have Chris Paul on that team. I think it would make them perhaps not better, because Kyrie gives you that three-point shot. The Chris Paul's always been an iffy three-point shooter, but he is historically one of the best point guards. But he's come on towards the end of his prime. Kyrie's still very young. A lot of energy.
And if you saw that recent video of Chris Paul working out with his son, he's been torn out by Paul Jr. for not being able to dunk. What are you meant to do at that side? His son says, practice.
Yeah, like your free throws.
Great advice for anyone. Talking of bad boys and potential trading gambits, Hassan Whiteside of the Miami Heat. Oh, Hassan, what are you doing? Ejected for a flagrant foul 2 versus the Spurs, an elbow on their centre Boban Marjanovic, invited to leave the building by the management team before the game was up. And a rather weary Eric Spoelstra, the Heat coach, saying afterwards, we'd been through this with him before. It doesn't have a sigh on the end of the quote, but I think we're probably safe in adding one. So
should we do one? Lamine Hassan. We said this so many times that he doesn't quite seem like a Heat player. So LeBron comes in to Miami a few years ago, and Pat Riley says to his coach, Eric Spoelstra is my coach, and you're not going to drive anyone out of this. I am running this franchise. Hassan Whiteside goes against that whole philosophy. He likes to practice a bit. He's a lazy player. That's what he's known to be.
Do you think he's just not used to the NBA? I mean, he's 26, but he's not a normal 26-year-old in terms of NBA experience, is he?
But you don't not get used to the NBA with Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh in the same locker room. And
well, you mean if you can't learn veterans, off guys like him and Amare, then you've got a problem.
Stoudemire as well, not that influential anymore in his career, but he's had the experience. He's nearly won titles. And
well, you could argue he's influential in the dressing room sense, couldn't
exactly.
You?
And Whiteside keeps. There's mishaps in his career so far, which is
mishaps.
What, he will be, I think, potentially Miami, like Atlanta in the East, because the Cavs are so good. Why don't we make a trade that will make us compete now instead of going into the first round and going out again, right? So Whiteside with Deng, they're good trade chips.
That's right. And of course, he's the top blocker in the NBA, Whiteside, so he will attract a lot of interest. But on the other hand, Rudy Gobert, there's a brilliant interview with Rudy Gobert of the Utah Jazz in Sports Illustrated. Ben Reiter did that. You should look it up. It's really good. And Gobert was talking about his defensive philosophy and the fact that he doesn't make as many blocks as Whiteside. And he said, well, look, if you're defending properly, maybe 8 out of 10 situations don't come to a block. Is there a sense that Whiteside goes looking for the block a bit too much?
Yeah, he looks for the stats, but also he's kind of waiting. So he's in the right position. That we're not going to blame him for getting blocks, acquiring them. But the problem with that is he will, on the offensive side, with Dragic driving to the basket, with Dwayne Wade's game nowadays of not staying on the three-point line at all, he likes to get involved in the key. And Chris Bosh, once LeBron had left Miami, not just being a three-point shooter, is it clogs the lane a lot. So Whiteside, does he have a role offensively to fit in there? They're not going to get rid of Winslow. He's a one for the future. So I would say that to make this team more compatible, more movement, a bit more freestyle, I think Whiteside will be floated. But his attitude is definitely the one big negative on that team.
Well, of course, what that would mean, I guess, is the Heat were making a move to win now. It looks like that window has been and gone for the Chicago Bulls. Thwacked at the Charlotte Hornets on Monday. They've now lost 13 out of the last 18. Jimmy Butler was injured, as we were saying before. Mirotic equally injured, as we said before. Joakim Noah, again, so influential in a dressing room sense, out for the season. Mike Dunleavy only just making his season debut last weekend. This is falling to bits, isn't it? Where's Fred Hoiberg, the new coach?
So he's got this 5-year contract, and he was a coach at Iowa State before this in college, and his offensive system basically revolved around one big man and four smaller players, like a Warriors team who would run this floor and shoot. Yeah. And Mirotic and McDermott were basically two that would fit those roles, but they just haven't taken advantage of that. And Hoiberg has openly, publicly admitted that he's had to go back to the Thibodeau offense at times this season, which is exactly what the Bulls didn't want. They wanted a new vision.
He's making his legacy look good, isn't it?
Exactly. Pau Gasol, and to add to the legacy, Pau Gasol says earlier in the season, we're not disciplined, that's a fact. And Jimmy Butler said in December that I need to be coached harder.
Stockholm syndrome, essentially.
Precisely, and something that Tibbs said last year on that point, letting go of the rope, my players. And although there was a suggestion that he pushed them too hard, I think that's why now with Noah's injury, and that's the important thing, is you're going to ask me about the Bulls going forward. Noah's injury basically quells any suggestion they're going to trade at the deadline, because they need the big man help. Someone like Bobby Portis, now that Noah's on the sidelines, they need a rotation player to be more there. So they won't look to trade before February 18th, the deadline. Pau Gasol will probably be lost for nothing in the summer as well.
Where do you think he'll go?
I'd like to see him go back to Memphis to return there. He started his career there, and also his brother's there.
Well, of course, it would be a fairy tale. While we're on the Spanish tip, before we wrap this up, why do you think Mirotic hasn't progressed this season?
2 points I would say that, first of all, coming from Madrid, not, you know, this European body is not the massive, not NBA size. He hasn't got any bigger. He hasn't improved his size and his athleticism.
You should come around my house for dinner.
Hey, get some paella in. And the second point, I would say he's not mastered one skill or one thing, whether it be three-pointers or ball handling, and that's where he needs to improve, because he was set up to be in this Højbjerg system. They've dedicated themselves to Højbjerg going forward. They'll make changes this summer to make sure that this era closes and the next one opens.
Quarter four. And we're going to talk a bit of Adam Silver. He was so impressive when he talked about the future of the NBA when he was here in London a couple of weeks back. He has struck again, so to speak, not in a sinister way. He was on USA Today's Sports NBA A to Z podcast talking about some of his plans for the future. Of course, he's already made quite a few changes, tweaked the playoff format so that teams are seeded 1-8 in each conference, regardless of the divisional champions. Added a full-time ref to assist in the replay center, began releasing last two-minute reports. Where next? Because the current CBA runs to 2021, but an opt-out is possible on December 15th, this year. That's the collective bargaining agreement.
And that's between the players' union and the league, so the owners, essentially. Yes. And the thing with this is that the league, if the players' union or the league opt out by this December, then this current CBA, which doesn't stand for the thing that everyone texts, it could run out by the end of next season, 2016-17. That's why Adam Silver, who, by the way, he just knocked off a big list and he's only been in office for 2 years.
It's extraordinary, isn't it?
Yeah, he has work to do for that.
I mean, he does spend a lot of time speaking to GMs, speaking to all sorts of front office staff, speaking to players, and getting feedback, doesn't he?
Yeah.
I think that's why people like him so much. It's interesting, of course, like somewhere where he's changed his mind, for example, is on the hacker player issue, where he's going to bring in something to change that this summer.
Yeah, so he's said now, and it was funny because last year he said that players just need to learn how to shoot free throws.
He said it was essentially about two players, didn't he?
His opinion has changed on that a lot. And we've been talking about it, and I think Adam Silver understands that this is an entertainment business and the fans aren't winning out of that. And you said that he's so out there. What I like about Adam Silver is he goes on so many podcasts. Hello, Adam Silver. But seriously, he's public. A lot of these commissioners stay quiet, and I like that. That's where he's listened to the fans as well. Yeah. Mark Cuban, on the other side of things, speaking again, obviously, he said that it would be bad for the fans if we change this rule. Because
LeBron agrees with him, doesn't he?
Ask questions about saying, oh, if he makes both shots, the player, will the coach keep him in? You know, will the coach continue to foul? And I just got a quick quote from Greg Popovich, who doesn't like it, but will continue to utilize it until the rule is changed. And this is really fascinating. He said, I hate it. It's ugly, but I'm going to do it. You don't want me to do it anymore? Learn how to shoot a free throw. I don't think about it much other than I hate the look of it. It just seems like it's wrong. In your gut, you know that there's no place for it. But on the other hand, you're competing and you take advantage of things, weaknesses on the other team. So they're all trying to figure it out, basically. And Adam Silver's understood now that this public perception, all the shows he's been on, all the players he must have talked to, understands that the game has to speed up.
I mean, it's just gone too far, hasn't it, this season? I think a lot of people feel, because the fact that the amount of missed free throws has been matched and then broken. The amount of free throws missed in a game has been matched and broken, matched by DeAndre Jordan and then broken by Andre Drummond a couple of weeks ago.
There's a few other things that he's trying to get in there for this next agreement, because there's always disagreements, and that's how there could be a strike potentially. Yeah. Silver keeps getting the question asked him, is the season going to be shortened after next year? And they're looking at adding two more D-League teams. So the D-League is a development league underneath the NBA.
Yeah.
And they're looking at expanding. So current NBA rosters are 15 players.
Mm-hmm.
So they're going to add it to 17, because the D-League is going to expand from 19 to 22 teams, which means there'll be more players. And what this essentially means is 60 new jobs for players, and the NBA teams have more control of these select prospects and also more money for some players. So it's a good thing all round. The talent pool of the NBA would only increase by adding more additions to the rosters and more teams down low.
And there's been a talk of less pre-season games as well.
A week
longer of the regular season, just to really reduce the amount of back-to-backs, I guess.
Yeah, I think Silver's tried to already do the less back-to-backs this season, and by reducing preseason games, you're able to basically extend the regular season. And I think he's not just concerned with resting players, he's concerned with the whole operation. So when managers, scouts, team owners, coaches have to travel with these players, it's a lot of work. So expanding the time, you're basically trying to fit in, I think it's 82 games in something like 160 days. That's crazy. That's really crazy. So the scheduling is an issue, and he'll look at doing that. And just a modern conventional commissioner. I really like Silva.
Yeah, I think we can all get on board with that. And when we get to shot clock overtime in a minute, maybe you want to put on your commissioner's bald head.
One more thing for him to do.
And add something to the in tray. Here we go. That's the end of four quarters. So it's time for shot clock overtime. 24 seconds each. Put your Adam Silva hat and your specs on, Max Whittle. You have 24 seconds to suggest something to improve the NBA this week that starts now.
Okay, can we get rid of the sideline two-question interviews at the end of quarters on TV? Okay, so this is what happened. Greg Popovich was on TNT. The question, Pop, your impressions of the first quarter? He answers, we're behind and they're ahead. Question, why is that? Answer, they've scored more than we did and we're pretty crappy on defense. It's been fun. Look, I love Pop. I'm not against him in this, but it's just a farce and it's embarrassing for the reporters. I don't like it. It's pointless. I don't give you anything.
I would really miss that if it went, I'm not having it. Like Pop makes those. It's absolutely wonderful.
I want them to stay if he was the only one doing them. But I feel it's so demoralizing for the reporters who know before they even ask the question, they're going to get nothing. And the coaches aren't thinking about that. They want to get back to the bench and talk to the players.
Why not be more inventive? Like, you know, go, you know, what's your favourite colour?
Well, it'd still be a one-word answer.
What's your favourite fish that you prefer to eat?
Yeah, spice it up. There you go. So the commissioner should maybe...
Favourite Bowie album?
Yeah, he's got a lot of them, Popovich. He's actually very funny. He's so funny.
He is. Yeah. I know what you mean. You don't really get that on it. Right, my 24 seconds are going to start here, and I'm going to go for a bit of a European-centric route. I want to see NBA London extended a little bit. I would like to say, and this is taken into account a player feedback, the likes of Evan Fournier, Lewis Scola, who were talking to us when they were over at NBA London. How about two games in 3 days? Maybe one of them in Paris.
Oh, so NBA London expanding into Paris.
Yeah, or two games in London. I'm trying to be like loving and inclusive.
Yeah, pretend we care about everyone else in Europe. No, I am. Well, I'm wholeheartedly in favour of that, Andy, and I think we're going to see it soon. There's definitely a plan. They keep bringing it here.
If you're making that amount of a journey, come on, let's at least get warmed up. And I think so many people want to come and see the game in London. Why not give a few more folks the chance to get in? It's really, really hard to get a ticket. I think you have to appreciate
and,
that.
And we said it on when we did the live shows there, that there's only 20,000 going to be directly impacted by it. And more games would be more fans get to see it. And the players, we were saying it on the podcast, Raptors and Magic were here for 5 days and they only played one game. If you play two or three, maybe bring more teams. Four teams, so two games, four teams, means that you only have to play one game and you can fly home. So the other game can go on.
But as virtual reality improves, maybe they don't have to physically go and visit Big Ben and Westminster Cathedral and that. Just
stay
stick
in
the goggles
arena,
on.
Goggles on, yeah.
Yeah.
I like it. I like that.
I can just spend more time in the hotel learning how to do proper stuff like make cups of tea, naming no names.
So clearly Adam Silver's got a lot to do on his to-do list.
Yeah, absolutely. But we're sure he's going to continue doing it very well. Well, thanks very much for joining us again. Say goodbye, Max.
Good job by you, Andy. Thank you.
That's not what I asked you to say. Say goodbye to the listeners.
Yeah, you say good job to me too. Goodbye. Goodbye, listeners. Thanks for listening.
Yeah, there you go. I'm slapping him on the back. As we speak.
That sounds like my back, doesn't it?
Well, if you will insist on wearing no trousers while we're recording, you know.
Oh, you've given it away. It's hot in here. It's too hot. It's
going to happen. Yeah, that's right. That's February in London for you. Thanks again so much for joining us. Do remember to subscribe if you wish on iTunes. You can also get at us on SoundCloud. Hit us up at Shot Clock Pod. Enjoy All-Star Weekend, and we will speak to you very soon. Thank you.